Are you Adam Cooney?
My body is a wonderland.
Is that what is? Well, it's appropriate, isn't it?
I think that's the introductory song for the day. I didn't choose that one. Usually I have my own choice, but I've been so flat out behind the scenes trying to organise what we're going to talk about for the next hour.
Well, that's Mandy making a statement about you on behalf of yourself.
On behalf of my good self, my bad self, or my old self, my injured self.
Now, you have been working hard to come up with the structure and content for the hour. It's something you take very seriously every single week. And we finally arrived.
20 to 12.
We've arrived. We've fallen at a very, very comfortable place. But before we get stuck into that and a couple of the issues of the week, a little birdie tells me that last night down at the mighty Spotswood Footy Club, you know what I'm about to say here, did you retire again last night?
I retired again. They'll start calling me John Farnham soon.
You've retired. What's happened? Is this the
hamstring?
Well, tell me more.
Well, I thought it was not a regulation hamstring did it. And I had some physio, and they did say to me that it was just a grade one hamstring strain that I'll be back playing within 2 to 3 weeks. And we're at 4 weeks tomorrow. So I tried to run last week, and it was still a bit tender. I got up to about a 30 to 40% jog. So I thought, well, that's not right. Ended up getting an MRI on Monday and got the results back. And when I had to see a surgeon this morning, I thought originally that I'd ripped the tendon off the bone.
Off the bone.
Yes, that's but I saw the surgeon this morning, so it was good news in a way that I don't actually have to have surgery on the hammy, but I've ripped the muscle off the tendon. So
the muscle off the tendon, yes. Not the muscle off the bone. So that's
the musculotendon junction or something like that.
Well, that's a much better result.
It's a better result because I don't have to have surgery.
Yeah,
but in
right.
terms of recovery time, I don't think I'll be able to get back for finals this year for Spotty. So I wasn't going to actually say anything, but as your local footy club's on a Thursday night, we've got the under-18s, the 2s, the seniors and the senior women's team all train at the same time. So everyone
Fantastic.
Gathers in the club after, and has a meal, and they read the team announcements. And as they were doing the senior men's team announcements, our coach of Spotty, Anthony Eames, retired me. I didn't retire myself. He retired me.
This was unexpected for you.
And then got me up for an impromptu sort of retirement speech.
Hang on. So had you made your mind up?
Well, I had made my mind up.
Right, okay. Yeah. He knew.
I wasn't going to play.
He wasn't forcing this upon you, Alistair Clarkson, Jared Ruffier type
style. No, it wasn't quite that bad. But he retired me in front of the group and then got me.
Not the Clarko's forcing Ruffier into retirement, by the way. That's
No, not at all.
No.
He is playing
that's
in
true.
The twos this
we'll
week.
We'll chat about that a bit later.
And then, got me up for an impromptu retirement speech.
And was it emotional for you?
Not at all.
Okay.
No. But I didn't do a proper retirement speech when I finished up at the Bombers. Because Woosher said, because, one of the most awkward and uncomfortable moments in my career have been sitting there watching grown men break down
about
the fact that they are retiring from football.
Why has that been uncomfortable for you?
Lost a loved one.
Well, that is a loved one.
Well, it's not.
Well, the game that they've grown up playing since they were little boys or little girls, in the case, will be in the great game of the great league of the AFLW. They have grown up playing this game and loving it.
Yeah, you can still love it,
but when you're saying goodbye to it at that level, I can imagine why somebody would feel like that's cutting off a limb.
They're always really awkward, uncomfortable. Maybe that's me just pushing my feelings and emotions deep down.
So
I usually do.
You've had about 45 minutes to let the kind of the whole thing. No, you've had a night now for it to settle upon you. Are you feeling comfortable with where you've landed?
Well, I'm thinking I might try and get back actually before the end of the season
for someone else.
Given that, it's
who's Spotty's arch rival?
Altona's the local rivalry, but they played them last week.
Mm-hmm.
And lost by 10 points. And then Deer Park have been the benchmark over the last, I think they've won the last 6 or 7 flags.
It's been a great dally in
They're under investigation at the moment, though.
For what?
I think there may have been over the point system and a possible salary cap breach, allegedly. So we don't know what's happening with Deer Park. I don't think they'll lose anything. I don't think they'll get stripped of flags or anything like that. But they have been the dominant force over the past few years. So
no chance you'll think about coming back and playing for Deer Park or Altona, if you're not wanted by Spotswood and Anthony Eames.
Well, since he's retired me, maybe I will jump ship, get a clearance and go to Deer Park, play out the pocket next to Jack Redpath. No, I will. I'll be staying at Spotty.
Right,
so it's a 12 to 14 week hammy, which, okay, well, which originally they said it was going to be 4 to 6 months, which I heard on Monday they said it's a 4 to 6 month recovery if you have surgery. So, but I don't have to have surgery.
No, that's
so
a good
just
result.
Let it heal naturally.
Yeah, good.
Play in 12 weeks so during, and then do it again.
So during, excellent. During your rehab phase that you're now into or in,
oh,
the,
deep into the, rehab
or in the rehab phase that you've just been going through, have you consumed acquired beer or alcoholic beverage at any stage on the way through?
No.
Adam?
Sunday I did, after I did it.
So and that was the only time? So
I waited 24 hours for the bleed to stop in the hamstring.
Right.
And then got stuck into it.
Okay. So you're operating at a far lower level. At a lower level now than the one that you were accustomed to through 200 games and a Brownlow medal winning career.
250.
And 250. Oh, I keep forgetting the 50. 250.
Don't worry, most people do.
250.
The last 50 weren't very memorable.
You know I'm a big fan of yours. The Stephen May stuff. You've always had a perspective, I think, and listening to you talk about, you know, elements of footy that can be perhaps blown out of proportion in your own mind and in the minds of others, where perspective perhaps gets a little bit lost.
Lost, yeah.
Occasionally. We get an insight into, you know, how you feel about some of these issues. The Stephen May stuff, how have you kind of sat back and absorbed and assessed all of that?
Well, first of all, there's the public opinion on it. So I believe it's a soft tissue injury that he's been out with.
Yep.
And since round two.
It is,
so
yes.
He's 6 weeks post.
And this is after he turned up.
Yeah, he turned up out of shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So 6 weeks post from a soft tissue injury, having 3 or 4 pints is not going to have any form of effect long term on your recovery from injury. So, first of all, you can cross that off the list.
Yep.
In terms of overall fitness, do you think you could get up the next day and work at 100% after 3 or 4 pints?
No, I think you could.
And what about from the mental point of view, if he's been struggling a little bit, he's had a few mates in town for the weekend, reached out to them and said, listen, boys, I'm battling a little bit. Let's go out and have a couple of beers and have a chat.
Well, I would have
thought the mental gain from that far, far exceeds the physical detraction of having 3 or 4 pints.
I couldn't agree with you more, right? And I think your old club shone a bit of a light on where they sit on this one in recent times.
It was a Joe Danaher situation.
Correct.
So there's two ways of dealing with it as well, and you're spot on. Essendon came out. Joe was injured, hasn't played for a while. Someone reported that he was out having a couple of drinks with friends. Essendon, front foot, no problem with Joe having a couple of drinks. We know he's injured, but he's in that part of his rehabilitation phase where it's not going to affect his body.
And we know that he will stop at a couple of drinks. He's not going to get Molly the Monk, and he's going to be okay.
Well,
he'll look after himself.
Right. But they've got on the front foot, ticked it off, fine. Now, for Stephen May to actually have to stand up in front of the group and apologise for what he's done, I think it's a bit embarrassing.
Do you really?
Why would you subject a person to do that when? And you tell me.
Well, you tell me why. Why is there this ritual, ceremonial thing that happens at footy clubs? Why do they feel the need to subject a player to that? Why? You tell me why.
Well, I think because it must be just the bubble and the pressure of being in that environment the whole time, that you can't actually see beyond that or outside the sphere of where you are and the professionalism and how ruthless. It's like I look back now on my career and think some of the things that I used to actually worry and get stressed about during the week, none of it, 80% of it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
So Stephen May having 3 or 4 beers, if he's battling, got a couple of mates over and he's home by 6:30, 7 o'clock, you think in 18 months' time that's going to matter?
I don't know.
No. So why subject and embarrass a person for going through that when, and I don't know if Simon Goodwin was, obviously he's the coach, so the buck ultimately stops with the coach and he must have had a problem with it because if he didn't, he would have shut it down.
Mm.
Are you telling me that Simon Goodwin hasn't done that before in his career?
Well,
of course he would have.
So,
and you can talk about expectations and professionalism and the bloke's getting paid $800,000 a year, so he shouldn't have a beer when he's injured. Well, it's not. It has no effect on him whatsoever physically. And the emotional side of it, I think, far outweighs.
So why do clubs...
But now he's back down in the dumps because he's been pilloried all week for
and
him.
Humiliated. Why do clubs have these... Look, this, the Stephen May incident, by the way, has been the media hang-up of the week for a lot of people. Hangmytv.com.au, because that's what they do. Give them a call, 1300-HANGMYTV. Why do clubs have these rules?
Drink, as in...
Yep, yeah, these... These curfew rules, these drinking rules, these if you are adamant that they don't affect the speed and quality of the rehab,
yep.
If that's why do they put those rules in place?
So if you've got a 3-week hammy, then and you're trying to get back in 21 days, of course you don't go and drink alcohol mm-hmm. because that can slow down yep. your recovery time
when you're working in the margins.
Exactly right. Yep. When you've got a soft tissue and there's still a bleed there, but. He would have recovered from that. There's no doubt about that. So it actually has no effect whatsoever.
So why do they put the rules
clubs
in?
I'm not sure why clubs put an alcohol ban in place, because generally they fail, and someone will always fail. If you be mature about your decisions when you're playing football, and most 95% of players are.
So the rules because of the 5% that aren't. But, is that why they do it? Is it a catch all? Is it a dragnet they throw out there to catch the 5% that can't be trusted?
But I think generally the coaches know who the 5% are.
So why do the other 95% have to pay a price?
Well, I don't know why, and I don't think that they should. And the best procedures or policies that we've had in place when I've been a player are common sense. Once. When there's an alcohol ban in place, or you can't go out past a certain time, might 11 or midnight or whatever it is, those curfews will be broken, even though a player hasn't really done anything wrong. So, and some of the punishments, when you look back on them, at the time everyone's sitting in a meeting room on a Tuesday afternoon, and player X is... The curfew was midnight and he was home at 12:45 and everyone's sitting around, oh, God, can't believe he's broken the curfew. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But that's the bubble of AFL.
So we understand this is not going to change, right? You might balk at it and you might suggest that it's childish and immature and players should be allowed to express a greater degree of self-determination. And I think some people will agree with that. Clearly, a lot of people off the text machine are saying, they're rules, boys, the rule was broken, he's got to pay a price. The paying of the pricing, the punishment nature of this, this is where we wanted to get to. 1-300-736-736. We're here for Robot Building Supplies, Robots Got It, and the Lottery Office, the world's biggest jackpots. Learn to play, lotteryoffice.com.au. Aren't there better ways? Can't you have a bit more fun than make the bloke stand up, right? Everyone into the meeting room. Everyone sit down by 12:15. Stephen comes in at 12:16. Steve, you want to say stand up, boys? I'm sorry. This kind of, you know, there's going to be half the blokes in the room are going, you poor bugger.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even want you to be doing this.
Yeah.
But we know that you've got to tick the box, right? Have you been involved at clubs, and I guarantee you 1-300-736-736 will be people at local clubs who've got other ways of dealing with players who have stepped outside the team rules. If you've got a way of dealing with this that doesn't dehumanise them, or not dehumanise the player, but humiliate the person, or humiliate them with a smile in their face.
For a minor indiscretion.
Exactly,
a very minor indiscretion.
Well, if you've got a
in
way,
my opinion.
If you've got a way of dealing with this at your club, I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-736-736. Have you seen this dealt with in a more kind of a less formal, less serious way in the past?
Well, if it was something like that, we would have just let that generally slide.
Just slide, yeah.
Because... There's policies when you're not drinking, as I said before. But if you've got a longer term injury and you're coming back, then it won't kill you to have a couple of beers and spend some time with your mates. Just because a player is getting paid 800 grand a year or whatever it is on doesn't mean that he's immune to emotions and catching up with and shouldn't be able to catch up with mates and have a couple of beers. And someone said that that's an elitist view.
Oh, I saw that. I don't know what the person's talking about.
I would have thought it's a more common sense view, but I don't know. We hold AFL players to such high standards and high regards. So it's a bit like the fat bloke sitting on the couch eating donuts and having a bag of chips and laughing at the the people at the Olympics for failing, isn't it? Because
well, I don't even know what that. I don't know. I saw that off the text machine. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I don't even know what that where that view's coming from. But
there's a couple I've actually come through that are that are quite interesting. So, I think I'm in the and reading a few of these SMS that have come through.
Yeah,
I think I'm in the minority here.
No,
because there's a lot of people sinking their boots in to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guarantee that they would do the same thing.
Oh well, and this is the view that I've heard expressed. If Stephen May had have had the three or four pots that he had, or stubbies, or whatever it was, at home.
Yeah, people are saying have them at home. Well, what's the difference?
Exactly. I mean, how hypocritical is that? People are saying just don't go out in public and do it. Do it at home. Well, he's doing the same thing.
Exactly right.
It's ridiculous. It's
the same consequences happening to his body, which is absolutely nothing.
Dan's in Glenroy. Dan, have you had a club that deals with this sort of stuff in a slightly less formal way?
Oh, you know what? There's nothing worse than being making an indiscretion in the footy club, and you have to go into the rooms, or given away a 50 on the field, and you go in the rooms, and you have to donate to the end of season slosh fund and get the boys drunk. Nothing worse. Mm. The worst punishment you can have.
Yeah, you're right, and I'm going through that currently at the moment at my local club. I'm the second highest in fines owed at the club.
What do you keep getting fined for?
Oh, I get fined for all sorts of... I got fined for doing my hammy in my first game.
Okay, right, yep.
And then I think I got fined again. You get fines for having your photo in the paper or on social media.
You're prolific.
I've copped a few of those, yep. But generally I have to spin the wheel sort of once a week.
You need to keep yourself out of that stuff. Page 13 and social pages. It's too much of that with you those 13, days. Man. Theo's in Glen Waverley. What's your take on all of this, Theo?
Look, I agree. It is a bit of a storm in a teacup, but it is a cumulative issue with May. Had he not shown up fat for pre-season and then, you know, showed that he wasn't professional enough in that instance, then this wouldn't have been as bad. But if you include how he showed up and now this, it's just not a good look for the club. So he should have been a bit more smarter.
I think that does feed into this, Theo. I think that part of it, if there's been this, you know, general belief that the bloke hasn't committed the way he should from the moment he walked in the joint or, you know, turned up to be a player, then I think there might be to this in this particular case there might be an extra layer to it.
Yep.
That Theo brings up. So maybe.
So if Essendon had an issue with the Joe Danaher, so Joe hasn't turned up in out of shape at all. No. But if Essendon had dealt with it the same as Melbourne, then we would be talking about Joe Danaher in exactly the same way.
Good start on the AGN open line. Good stuff. Love winter, love cheaper, greener, more reliable natural gas. Search Australian Gas Networks to find out more. Later this hour, Coons has got his top five, which we look forward to every Friday, his top five favourite coaching quotes. Adam Cooney in the studio. I've been a copper for 20 years, writes somebody off the text machine, before I get your thoughts on what Alistair Clarkson's hoping to get out of the rough head decision. Best thing to deal with stress is a beer with your mates. These boys are on 10 times what I get paid. Let them have a beer. They're young and living their life. Get over it, everyone. Get over it, says a bloke who's been a copper for 20 years.
Well, I'm with you, copper, but we're in the minority.
It would seem so. What do you think? Tell me, take me inside the head of Alistair Clarkson if you can. Oh, no, that's a tough ask.
You want me to take you inside the head of one of the greatest coaches in the history of our game?
I do. What's he? There's more to it. You can't, when you drop Jeremy.
There doesn't have to be more to it.
No, but there is. There is. You know this. It's when you drop a legend of your club in what might be the last year of his career, at a time when a lot of people out there are probably of the view that you're not going to play finals. And now, clearly, Alistair Clarkson is a man who wants to win every week. But there, you know that there's something more. Whether you say, oh, there's no more to it, he's just out of form and they've dropped him. That's the cold-blooded,
yep,
no-nonsense assessment of this. But when you drop Jared Roughead, there's more to it than that.
But he's a no-nonsense coach, Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe, and I don't think he took a mark last week, so could be wet Sunday.
Mm.
He's got Mitchell Lewis as his tall. He wants Jack Gunston as a permanent forward who's been roaming all over the field in recent times. And then maybe he wants to go with a smaller forward line because he thinks that can get the job done and doesn't think that Ruffy will have a huge impact on the game if it is wet given his form. That's the simplistic view of looking at things. Yeah. If they want to win and they think that the best chance of them winning the game and getting 4 points is to leave Jared Roughhead out of the side and play a small forward line with those two guys who are a bit more mobile at the moment, then maybe that is all there is to it.
Well, there's no...
It's not disciplinary
reasons. No, that's not that. Of course not. No.
It's not character.
Nope.
It's probably fitness, agility and form.
Form.
That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
That's as, that can be as simple as that. And he might play well and kick 4 or 5 and be straight back in next week.
Mm.
And we don't talk about it again. Or he doesn't play well and has a few weeks and then it becomes a real issue going forward. That's the risk that he's taken at this point of the season. But I think they went in with the most experience of any team last week in the competition.
Yep.
I think. Well, the numbers, I don't work for Champion Data, but
I know they did have their age profile was on the older end of the scale, but that you get skewed by having a player like Sean Burgoyne. You know, I think they had 5 or 6 players in their side who were 30 plus. So there's no doubt about that. This is so that's Alistair Clarkson. The mindset of the player when you decide to go on for another year and you know that this is a reality. Now that it's happened in round 8. The reality, the chickens have come home to roost for Ruffy because it would have been in his mind weighing up when he was weighing up to go another year or not. Well, I might not play every week. And I'm sure those conversations would have been had between him and Clarko and other senior figures that he respects and listens to at the footy club. Now that that comes, the reality comes, Jared Ruffhead will cop this, won't he? I mean, he's got no choice but to because that's the reality of life. He's been dropped, but he's not going to be dirty about this because that would have been discussed before he signed on for another year.
Oh, you can still be dirty about being dropped.
Well, yeah, of course.
But if you've had that honest conversation, and I'm assuming it has happened with Alistair Clarkson at the end of
last
season. Yeah, yeah. Listen, mate, there will be times, or there might be times, where your form's down, you are getting old now that we either have to rest you or you might play some time in the VFL. And as long as he accepted that could be his position at the end of last year leading into this season, then there's no reason why, if Jared Roughhead isn't still enjoying his football, that he can play for Box Hill and be a leader down there and give what he has given for so many years to a younger group. As long as he's okay, as in positive and still enjoying what he's doing, then it might not be an issue at all. But if he is really filthy and dirty, not at the club, but just in general about being playing in the twos and he's not enjoying his footy, then that's when it maybe the midpoint of the season you sit down and say, well, what should we do in the back end? Maybe hang him up and become as more of a specialist coach towards the back end of the season. Or if he's enjoying what he's doing and still not playing senior footy, then play out the year
in the
twos.
Of course. You make a lot of sense sometimes.
Very rarely.
You underestimate yourself in terms of your ability
I don't know if I do.
No, you do. I'm pretty
aware of where I'm at.
You don't like being asked to take things seriously. But when you do, when you're slipping a grown-up Adam Cooney instead of the perpetual sort of Peter Pan type role that you like to perpetuate from time to time, you can cut through and make a bit of sense, Coons.
Well, if I ever get too far ahead of myself, I'll just read 7 or 8 of these text messages that come through, which puts you back in your box pretty quickly.
Don't do that. After the break, the top 5 coach quotes that you have sourced these. You have gone beyond the call of duty finding these.
John has.
So your 5 favourite coach quotes that you've listened to, because we wanted to celebrate coaches this week. There's been some great coaching produced around the world in sport this week. So we're going to come up with your top 5 coaching quotes. We're going to hear those after this. And Adam Cooney, just speaking about coaches, we're going to get the audio for you to have a listen to. But Damien, do you like coaches when they come out and swing hard in defence of their players?
Yes, nothing better.
Damien Hardwick, I haven't heard the audio yet, but I'm seeing the online reports. Damien Hardwick writes the Herald Sun AFL sports page online, has leapt to the defence of spearhead Tom Lynch and taken a sledgehammer to Matthew Lloyd over his criticism of the star forward, saying, this is a quote, "I'd love Lloydy to spell the word liability," says Damien Hardwick. I need to hear this press conference.
Really? That's good.
I love it when coaches do this to their players.
What's he second in the Coleman too, Tom Lynch?
I thought he played some reasonable. I know they've gone off the boil a bit with the injury toll that's probably taken its toll, but I thought Lynch coming off a less than 100% kind of base going in, so I thought Lynch had played some okay footy at times.
Yeah, his first 3 or 4 weeks were, I think, at acceptable.
Lloydie's obviously seen some tape and watched
the turning circle.
He's watched something that's got him.
He's worried about the turning circle, but liability is very. Ooh. That's over the top to say that he's a liability.
So now Adam Cooney smashes Matt. Adam Cooney joins Damien Hardwick, smashing Matthew Lloyd for his liability call.
Yep. Sure.
Throw Cooney into the mix. That'll be on sen.com.au. When asked whether he'd stand up.
Two of the great football minds unite.
Yep, I'll do
in
that.
In unison.
That'll be on sen.com.
Hardwick and Cooney.
You might want to check with the boys in digital on the way out because they're savage, furiously writing that story right now. Okay, coaches, favourite coaches' comments.
So there's a minor issue here. So we changed it up late in the piece.
Yeah, we did.
We were going to go with top five coaches that you'd love to play under.
They've been coached by, yeah.
Yes, and I...
Same thing.
So I changed that up late.
Because you can only find four?
Because I saw a clip on... And you know I don't watch your show, but I watch the highlights.
You don't have to say that.
I watch the highlights only because I'm out and about.
Yeah, sure. Yep. So are you talking about the front bar?
I catch the best stuff of the front bar.
Thanks, mate.
And
It's a very small...
The audio...
It's a very small file.
The audio, and this is coming in at number five, is it was the audio of Brendan Bolton. Oh, just looking for some positives for where his group's at the moment.
We have won 12 of 24 quarters. If the ladder... The ladder's not. We know the reality is the ladder. You either win or you lose. But if it was based on quarters won, we're sitting eight.
How good's that?
I reckon... I love to hear that. I'm all for that stuff.
I wonder if the players are thinking, that's a really positive spin, or if they're sitting there thinking, what is he talking about?
No, we're going okay. I reckon, and I am completely guessing here, but I reckon Brendan Bolton has completely pinched that, because I don't reckon anyone at Carlton sitting around doing that ladder, right, in the footy ops department.
The quarter-by-quarter ladder.
I don't think they're doing that ladder, but I reckon it was Sir Swamp Thing under the...
the stats guru.
Yeah, Dave Frith. I reckon Swampy has come up with that stat and put it out on his social media at some stage throughout the week.
And someone's seen it, taken it to Bolts, and he's run with it.
3 days ago? Three days ago. Oh, hang on, that's quite a different ladder. Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Sir Swamp.
I reckon he's got it from somewhere. I stand to be corrected. But
you've gone with it now. You've said that they've...
I think I read it somewhere. Anyway, good on him for trying to find the positives.
You're happy? Are you happy with that as a company?
Well, that's actually...
Man, that's good.
That's actually quite a good
beneficial
stat. That's a good stat. That tells you that they're going okay.
Trending upwards.
They're winning a lot of quarters. That tells they're just going to win the quarters by a bit more.
Yeah.
And not lose the quarters by as much.
Exactly right. They do that, and then they're a chance to win the game. They win more quarters than they lose in one game. They're going to win the game of footy.
By more scores. Yeah.
Spot on. Positive stuff by Bolts. Next up is a New York Jets coach, Herm Edwards, who was along the same similar lines as Brendan Bolton.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
I love it.
So you play to win, but if you don't win, then it doesn't matter because you play to win, but then you retire.
No, because if you play to win and you don't win, that's okay. But if you're not coming out to play to win in the first place, you're just going through the motions out you get. I know what Herm's talking about there.
Yeah, spot on.
Because you can go out and play to win but still get beaten.
Yeah, it's clear as mud from Herm there. What you also want is a manager or a coach who's confident in his own ability. And Jose is that.
Porto to win the Champions League has to beat Partizan Belgrade, Real Madrid, Marseille, Olympique Lyon, Manchester United. Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I'm European champion, so I'm not one of the bottle. I think I'm a special one.
You want to hear your coach saying that?
Oh, yeah. No, well, I love it when they give themselves their own nickname.
He's nicknamed himself the special one.
I love it.
He's not arrogant, just confident.
Yeah, there's a bit of, but
could,
you know.
Could you see Alistair Clarkson sitting back saying that? Look, I'm not arrogant, but.
No.
I'm a special coach.
Not in this nation. We don't do that sort of stuff.
Why don't we?
I don't know. I wish there was a bit more of it. No, you don't. Because what you wish for, you get it, and then you don't want it. So
we're quite a humble nation, aren't we?
I think we are.
Publicly.
Yep.
And particularly in AFL, you can't get too far.
Well, is there someone privately who was very much a pump-up merchant that you can say, oh, yeah, no, he never said it publicly, but you should in the change rooms, if you had a good day, it's unbearable.
Well, Well, he did say it publicly and privately. Acker.
Oh, he's on the front bar next week.
Acker was very confident.
He's coming in next week.
In his own.
I can't wait to get him on.
In what his about own ability.
He should just give golf away. Just go and hit balls on the range.
Well, I don't think he can play anymore.
Don't become a member of a golf club anymore, Jason.
He's banned everywhere in Albury, isn't he?
He can't
He's got to go
anywhere.
Interstate.
He hasn't got to cross the border.
I think Albury is across the border, isn't it?
I think it is.
He's got to come back to Victoria if he wants to, play golf.
All the way to Wodonga if he wants to play golf. Anyway.
This is where you coach, and Damien Hardwick style, you want your coach to stick up for some of your players. This is Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma coach. He doesn't want to give his players a hard time.
Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken.
I like that.
I love it.
You come out in support of your boys.
Yeah, good. And fly the flag.
Sometimes I think coaches like to deflect as well. And this final one is David Bennett. And when things aren't
Who's
going...
David Bennett?
Things aren't going great.
Who's David Bennett? Who did he coach?
I think he coached Carolina, Coastal Carolina, I think. Okay, right. Some college or high school team.
All right.
His team obviously not going great. Needed them to lift and came up with a nice little anecdote.
Okay.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament before practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you can come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog.
I wonder if he told his, if he relayed that story to his players.
Well, he just said, I told the players. Like, he was, that's exactly what he was doing. You'd like to know how they went. Does that make sense to you, what David Bennett's talking about?
Absolutely none whatsoever, right. But I appreciated the story nonetheless.
That's a great quote. Hey, speaking of which, and running through just with a 5A on top of your five great coaches' quotes, we have now got the Damien Hardwick audio.
Ooh,
that we referred to before about him responding to Matthew Lloyd's criticism of Tom Lynch.
Yeah, I'd love Lloydy to spell the word liability. Be interesting, wouldn't it? Anyway, we just worry about what we can control. He's second on the Coleman, I think, last time I looked. So, you know, end of the day, it's easy to sit there behind a keyboard and throw out barbs, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, beautiful.
It certainly is. That's good. Whack. I wonder if Lloydy will respond. Or is that the end of it now? He's thrown, lobbed the first grenade, copped one back, and is that it?
Oh, Lloydy will come now. He'll have the vision. He'll present that on some forum somewhere and I don't think Lloydy's going to back away. Don't forget, these two know. I think Hardwick and Lloyd know each other pretty well, don't they?
Yeah, so they've played some football.
I think
they
might have played some footy together. So I'm sure that they, you know, there's a bit of a nod and a wink. And
well, there've been a text exchange between the two. Maybe jovial, or do they prickle up? I don't know the workings of a senior coach with their mates. If they pot one of their players, is it a?
I'd like to know how many relationships have been seriously
severed,
damaged,
or
to the point of being severed.
Many. You would think.
Because one stays in club land, the other one goes in the media, and then a comment's made.
But eventually you will upset. You will upset, if you're in the media, you'll upset every coach in the game at some point. Because you have to, don't you?
It's a byproduct, isn't it? You shouldn't go out of your way to upset people just to be sort of antagonistic, but you are going to make comment in this, hopefully it's, you know, well thought out, well considered, fair, not cruel and malicious.
For the sake of it.
Yeah. You know, just looking for a bit of, you know, clickbait, which is a word that's been bandied about again this week.
But you have to be
media on media.
You have to be honest, I think.
I think you do.
Without going over the top. So, yeah. I don't think I've ever called a player a liability.
Have you ever received a text message or a phone call from a player who you've, since you've had the microphone in front of you, that you might have, they might have thought you'd been a bit harsh?
Not a text message, but I've bumped into a player or two over the time, and I've heard some players comment publicly.
Does that set you back a bit when you hear that?
Well, it does, because you remember as a player the things that ex-players have said about you.
Yeah.
But it's – and some players who get a role in the media. One player who said something about me publicly will go into the media post, and that's when you sit back and you think, well, I'll like to see how they go about it, because you've got to be honest.
Okay.
Without going too far over the top.
Who was that?
No, we'll just leave that one. We'll let that one go through to the keeper.
We've got to go on an ad break.
But no issues.
He'll tell me in the ad break and I'll tell you on the other side.